How do you do? A man doing good deeds who is accustomed to doing evil is a rarity. People don't change unless they've experienced a powerful transformation, an epiphany. Such was the man in this story, a prosperous artist in England, who lost everything of value and gained more than he lost when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories of real people, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Some people are homeless because they fill themselves with strong drink. We see them trudging the streets by day. But where do they go at night? In Chicago, they can go to Pacific Garden Mission, where the doors are always open. The mission offers food, fresh clothing, and a clean bunk for the night. But meeting physical needs of the body does not address the inner emptiness of the soul that led to their predicament. So mission pastors and counselors lead them to the one who can fill them with joy and peace. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3272 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Here, take this. Take it quick.
Why are you so anxious to get rid of this razor?
I meant to use it on a man tonight. I meant to kill him.
Here?
No, I only stopped in here to pass the time till midnight when I planned to go after the guy.
I'm glad you came in here instead.
I sat there and listened to your story, how you used to be a drunk, and I thought, if you can change, maybe I can change.
You can. It's a promise. Whosoever will.
Whosoever will implies a choice. And it was a choice for the man in this story. A choice between life and death. This is the story of which one he chose. The true testimony of William Rawls from the classic files of Unshackled.
I was born in Australia, where my father became wealthy as a gold miner, and we later moved to a city in the north of England. My family had strong faith in God, and I even became a Sunday school teacher and librarian of the school. I spent 5 years studying nights at the Royal Institution of the Arts and became a celebrated artist. At the age of 21, I married a beautiful young woman. By then, I owned numerous properties, including a well-furnished home with many servants.
Another biscuit, William?
No, but I'll have more tea.
I should think you would, poor dear. All day going over those dreadful accounts. That's no sort of work for an artist.
Not sorry you married an artist, are you?
Sorry? I should say not.
Well, I couldn't help wondering. After all, we've been married almost 10 weeks now.
You make it sound like a lifetime.
You make it seem like 10 minutes.
You're very sweet.
You know, there's something puzzling me about these accounts.
Oh?
Have you noticed any of the servants indulging in liquor?
No, why?
Someone is. I have a statement here from the wine and spirits dealer. It seems to me that...
William, you mustn't suspect or accuse the servants.
But we don't use any wine and spirits.
Yes, we do. A little.
What?
I do, William. Poor thing, don't look so distressed.
But I am distressed.
Don't be. It's just that... I need an alcoholic beverage from time to time.
You? I've never seen you drink intoxicants.
Until last year, I never tasted liquor. Then, during a party, old Mr. Harwell insisted I have some brandy.
And?
It was as though I'd waited all my life for it. I liked the feeling it gave me, like being light and free and altogether at ease and gleeful.
My family has never drunk liquor for generations.
What harm is there? You didn't even realize I was drinking it.
Why didn't you tell me before we were married?
Because I knew you disapproved of alcohol.
With good reason. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. This is a verse from the Bible. You must give it up.
I cannot, William. I cannot live without it.
The revelation of my wife's addiction to alcohol was a crushing blow to me. I felt that my bride had betrayed me, creating a gulf that lay between us for a time.
Can't you understand my need, William?
It means a great deal to you, I can see that.
Yes. I don't think I could get through a day without it. And I know I don't want to try.
Then there's only one answer.
William.
If you're going to drink, then your husband had better drink with you.
Darling!
That was a grievous mistake. I soon fell under the sway of alcohol and drank constantly. At times I worked a little, but for several years I did no real work. Instead, we became full-time socialites. Business friends and family were appalled, but I was addicted. Children were born to us, but every day started with a definite routine.
Elizabeth?
Yes, Mum, I've brought your tray.
So soon?
It's past 11, Mum.
William, wake up. Elizabeth is at the door with the tray.
The tray held milk and Jamaica rum, coffee and brandy. Our lives were shipwrecked. At the time, we owned many properties and sufficient money had never been a concern. We lost money when the bank failed, so we pursued business ventures, but neglected them. So the business failed. Repeatedly, we mortgaged property and spent the money until every house we owned was gone.
Yes, sir.
My good man, I have here something of value for sale.
Let's see it.
This is my wife's. I'll be happy to give you the name of the jeweler who sold it to me, and you may verify its value.
Thank you, but I know its value to me.
I see. Very well.
Are you selling, or do you want a loan?
A loan, if you please, just a loan. This is a temporary expedient.
Yes, sir. As you say, a temporary expedient.
Tomorrow would always be different. But it never was, except possibly for being just a little worse than the day before. Oh, the scheming and planning, the broken promises and escalating debts. 2/3 of the money raised at pawn shops went for alcohol, and 1/3 bought food for the family. By then, we had 3 sons and a daughter. Well, boy, what are you doing up so late? What do you have to say for yourself?
I know it's past his bedtime, William.
It's long past his bedtime. Up to bed, boy!
But Elizabeth hasn't come for him yet. She always takes him up.
Never mind Elizabeth. He's big enough to take himself to bed.
William, he's only 3. It's dark in the hallway.
Have I spawned a coward? A boy who's afraid of the dark? If you need something to fear, forget the dark. Fear me, you hear? Fear me! At times, I would strike my 3 boys in the face with my fist and was guilty of great neglect. But the most frightful incident happened one night. Returning from my club, I found the nurse and my wife about to take my 3-year-old daughter to bed.
She's very sick, William.
What's wrong with her?
The doctor isn't sure yet, but he wants her to stay in bed all the time.
Here, let me take her.
Are you sure? You're steady enough.
Yes, Papa will take his darling upstairs tonight.
Careful, William. Don't drop her.
I won't drop her. Come here. Up the stairs, meet Papa.
Careful.
I was so drunk that halfway up the stairs, I stumbled and fell full length upon my sick and dying child. A few days later, as they prepared to lower her casket into the ground, I found myself even more drunk.
Beloved, even the heavens weep as we face the grief of committing this small body to the earth. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now I would ask our brother, the bereaved father, to scatter upon the casket the first symbolic handful of earth. Mr. Ross. Mr. Ross?
Did someone call my name?
I see. I shall cast the symbolic handful of earth.
I loved my daughter, but I was simply powerless to resist alcohol. My wife was nearly as bad, but in time she would have nothing to do with me. In the end, my family intervened.
William, alcohol has ruined your life.
You don't know its grip, Mother. I can't break away from it.
If only you would ask the Lord to help you.
God has forsaken me.
Never. He has promised never to leave you or forsake you. Come to him, William.
I cannot face God.
Then for the good of your family, we feel you must leave England.
Where can I go?
You have uncles in America who will help you.
So far away from my family?
Perhaps you can break the terrible hold that alcohol has on you. Then you can send for your family.
How will I survive?
We'll send you a stipend each month, enough to get by until you're established.
I don't want to leave England.
You must. If you don't go, we won't help you.
I don't have money for the trip across the ocean.
We'll pay the fare if you leave on Saturday.
All right. I'll go.
Listen to me carefully, William. This may be the last time we'll ever be able to talk together.
Don't say that, Mother. I'll come back in a year or two.
I'm not so sure, William. Crossing an ocean changes the surroundings, but it doesn't change the man. Remember what our Lord said. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
I know that thief, Mother. He lives in a bottle.
The only way to beat the devil is with Christ, the living water. Goodbye, son. And remember, I'm praying for you. Every day and every night, I'll be praying for you.
In a moment, the rest of William's story. A recent visitor to Pacific Garden Mission wrote us this note. We are thankful God provided the opportunity for us to be able to have a tiny glimpse of the incredible ways the mission is reaching the lost for Christ and training more to do so. Praise the Lord for the magnificent worldwide impact the Unshackled program has on believers and unbelievers. If you have never visited the old lighthouse, we hope you do soon. We'll give you a tour of all the facilities, and you'll discover how we reach out to all. Many people, after seeing the work being accomplished, decide to volunteer. And volunteers are vital to our ministry. Everyone from nurses and doctors to teachers and pastors, musicians and housewives, all contribute to sharing the good news of God's love by extending their gifts to others. To learn more about visiting or volunteering, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Oh, the misery of the farewells to my wife and children, to mother and father as I left England for America. I settled in Philadelphia because I had an uncle in Germantown. I stayed a few weeks, but my sinful conduct offended their sensibilities, as my cousin noted at breakfast.
Cousin William, you'll never believe the dream I had about you last night.
If it was about me, it was a nightmare.
Almost. I dreamed you were preaching in the pulpit of the big church down on the square.
You should be more careful what you eat before bedtime.
I will, if you'll be more careful what you drink.
My uncle soon decided I was not fit to occupy his house, and I had to leave. I lived here and there in Philadelphia, an occasional artist and chronic drunkard, dependent upon my family's largesse. I would sit by the river at night,
Longing for sleep as the current caressed the torment in my soul. Sometimes I took a loaded revolver and spun it on my finger, hoping it would go off and end my misery. But I didn't dare pull the trigger.
Lord, please save my son. Draw him to you, Father. Stir up his heart to remember your word and deliver him from the bondage of alcohol. Your hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither your ear heavy that it cannot hear. Please, Lord, save him for your glory.
No doubt my mother's prayers restrained me in those moments of dark despair. Her monthly stipend also sustained me.
Your letter came today, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you for telling me.
Well, it's yours. You ought to know about it. Besides, I want you to endorse the check.
I shall do so. First, though, I'd like another drink.
Sure. Now, the way I figure it, after I take out your month's room rent and what you drank on the cuff, you'll have less than half coming to you.
You're probably cheating me.
But you don't know any place else where you can make a better deal, do you? Here's a drink. I'll bring the check and a pen.
About 2 years later, after I arrived in Philadelphia, a letter came from England.
Here's the letter I was telling you about, Bill.
Thank you.
Don't forget to give me the stamps for my nephew's collection.
Oh, God. No. Please give me a drink.
Sure. What's the trouble?
My mother. She's dead.
Sorry, Bill. I mean it. This drink is on the house.
Thank you. Not long after that, another letter came, telling how my wife had died suddenly while lying on the sofa. Desolation at the death swept over me. I knew not where to turn and staggered to my room and fell against an old armchair. Oh, God, what have I done? I've failed the most important people in my life, and now it's too late. Can you forgive me, Lord? Help me, Lord Jesus. Save me. I repent of my sins. I knew better, but I rejected you. Please change me, Lord. God heard my cry. For 3 days I could neither eat nor sleep, but God's peace came, and I received salvation and victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God healed me of drinking, and I returned to my profession as an artist. I sent for my children, and then I met Dora.
I find it hard to believe you were ever a derelict like some of the men on this street, Bill.
I was raised in a Christian home, so I knew better. But liquor can get a kind of stranglehold on a man.
Or a woman.
Yes. Even though I memorized Bible verses, I was just very religious. I wasn't saved. Then, when I married, I wanted to please my bride. Instead, I contributed to her downfall.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
There are so many warnings in the Bible. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Bill, look at that man over there, huddled in the doorway. Do you think he's sick?
More likely he's drunk. I say, fellow, are you all right?
Just cold. Can you spare me a little money?
Better than that, I can give you my overcoat. Here.
What about you?
I have a home.
Thanks.
And I also have some more clothes. Here you are. Find yourself a room for the night. You'll freeze if you stay out here.
Thanks, mister.
Don't thank me. Thank Jesus. He saved me, or I would be out here with you, longing for a drink.
How did you quit?
I asked the Lord to save me. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
I think you missed your calling, Bill.
What do you mean?
I think you should be a preacher.
I like to see others come to know the Savior, but all Christians should feel the same way. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost.
You have a compelling testimony.
It's the Lord's testimony. I'm so glad I met you, Dora. Dora and I married, and for several years I practiced my profession as an artist. Then the Lord spoke to my heart and led us into mission work in the city, reaching out to the drunks and derelicts. God enabled us to acquire an abandoned storefront.
It's in terrible shape, Bill. It even smells disreputable.
Dora, this used to be a saloon.
Was it?
Yes, I spent many hours in this place.
Small wonder the owner abandoned it. What a mess.
We can clean it up. Ah, the irony of it, Dora. What was once the devil's domain will become a holy dwelling place as we proclaim God's word.
The need is obvious. Look, men are peering in the window already.
Looking for something to drink. Well then, we'll offer them the living water.
When do you want to start?
Tonight.
Tonight?
God will help us. The Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I lost everything, but Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." My friends, the world may turn its back on you. Even your family and friends will desert you, but Jesus will never leave you. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. He's willing to get down in the muck and filth of your life and lift you up to where he is because he loves you. We love him because he first loved us. You see, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I know because he saved me. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he will do the same for you when you put your trust in him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God gave us that old saloon to be a mission for those who were hurt and felt hopeless. I also preached in the big church on the square, as well as most of the other churches in Philadelphia. After several years of mission work, God led us to the region of the Pines in New Jersey, as yet undeveloped.
It's so beautiful here, Bill, with the trees and the lake.
Dora, suppose there was a farm here, with a decent place to live, and a chapel, with the lake and quiet paths where a man can walk and pray and think.
Sounds ideal, like healing for the soul. For the ministry?
For the men who land in the gutter, men like I used to be.
I like the idea, Bill, but it's a tall order.
With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.
Yes, that's true.
Here, away from the old surroundings, we could lead them to Christ and trust him to keep them sober.
Sooner or later, they'd have to go back to their old neighborhoods, to the city.
Yes, but they'd be armed with the word of God and sealed with his spirit.
I think it's a great idea, Bill. How do we begin?
With prayer. And then we'll see if we can buy the land. We bought the 880 acres of land and founded a retreat for men addicted to alcohol, men without hope. We raised our children there. A dozen years had passed when I took our son Addison aside one day and talked about the future of the ministry. "You see, son, right over there, we ought to have a dormitory for the men, and someday we can have a big hotel lodge over there. So people can come here for the special Bible conferences and still not interfere with the men of the colony who are struggling with addiction."
"It's a wonderful dream, Dad."
"It isn't mine." "I'm sure it's God's plan. And if it is God's plan, it will come to be.
Yes.
The world is so misled, they put the cart before the horse.
What do you mean?
Alcoholics don't need sobriety, they need Jesus. Our Lord said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yes, and the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Attaboy, Edison. I'm telling you this because I'm passing the dream on to you, son. It will take more than one man's lifetime to bring it all to reality.
I'm William Ross' son, Addison, the teenager with whom he shared his vision for the ministry. A week later, my father died in 1910 at the age of 52, leaving me to carry on his work. Over the decades, we built the dormitory Dad envisioned and the lodge for conventions. My own son, named for his grandfather William, also joined the ministry. We have seen countless men receive Christ and go back to the world with new life and an eternal hope for the future, thanks to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
Listening friend, do you have that resurrection power at work in your life? In John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The Lord is waiting to give you new life. Pray to him with all your heart, in your own words. Let us know if we can assist you in this life-changing spiritual endeavor. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. Unshackled is the reason I gave my life to Christ, a listener emailed us. Please tell the manager of this station about your decision and ask them to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3272, heard in the classic true story of William Rawls, where Lanny Lutz, Stephen Spencer, Chris Bashan, Jennifer Dimmitt, Nina Leone, and Kim Rasmussen. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, David Pierczynski. Script by Odell and Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.